instead of these other dashes.
They're not part of it. They're not in it anymore.
Ready to go, guys?
No.
Yeah.
At least I don't think so.
Welcome, everybody, to the February 13th meeting of the Senate Committee on Business and Transportation. We have two bills we're going to take up today. First, we're going to deal with the work session, a public hearing. We didn't post it for public hearing, but...
Oh, it's just a work session, but we can take testimony.
I'll take testimony if someone wants to on Senate Bill 1559. Members and audience, let me tell you what we're doing there. It appears that the intent of the interested parties in OLCC is that they want to fight it out at the ballot box in November. So we're not going to try to pass the modernization. There's enough questions on that. So what the chair intends to propose is two amendments. The Dash 7 amendments would create a task force or a work group composed of six legislators, two LCC commissioners, and five public members appointed by the governor that would meet between now and October and start exploring in more detail the issues that we've discussed in the last meeting over some of this stuff. And I think that's important for a couple of reasons. One, I think we need to have a better and longer discussion with everybody about what modernization and what things need to be done. Certainly we have things like Mr. Brown brought up the agency compensation, and certainly it was reviewed that we've looked at that a number of times that apparently haven't done nothing, so we'll take another shot at that, taking a look at it, and in case the measure doesn't pass in November, in which case things are different. If it does pass one way or another, I think the legislature needs to be positioned to have an informed core group to look at the issues come January, regardless of how the election turns out. There are work that needs to be done, and we haven't spent, as the legislature, spent a lot of time on that since I've been here. So we'll do that. That's the proposal, at least. The other amendment is a Dash 8 amendment, and I'm going to ask OLCC to explain that. I understand it to be a technical amendment relating to a clause. So why don't you guys come on up, but I'll let Patrick, is there...
You Mr. Chair,
yes.
Will you be considering the Dash 9s that specifically appoint Senator Thompson to the task force?
I want that Dash 9 destroyed.
No?
Okay. We weren't going to do that legislatively.
Oh, yeah. You're all panicked.
You know, he was just so excited about being involved in it, that
Senator Thompson
would. Yeah. Patrick, do you have any info before we go?
Mr. Chair, I think if they could explain the Dash 8s, I think that would be sufficient, Mr. Chair. Other than to say that the committee has received statements give us indication to be able to move both the bill with both the Dash 7s and the Dash 8s.
Okay. Mr. Marks.
Chairman, for the record, Steve Marks, Executive Director of OLCC. The Dash 8 simply restore what we used to be able to do, and that was access LEDs for criminal background checks in state. Because legislation passed designating the OLCC a criminal justice agency, the result of that was that we lost our LEDs access. So we need to fix that technical issue and restore our ability to do background checks through the LED system. In the meantime, we're paying for a private service at $16.65 a record. It would cost us $166,000 for the biennium, and this would allow us to access LEDs at no cost again.
So you want to save some money?
Yes.
I got it. Questions of Mr. Marks on that? Okay. I guess you're off easy.
Thank you.
Thank you. I will allow public testimony. Is there anybody who wishes to comment at all? Come on, Marshall. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Chair Beyer, members of the committee. My name is Ellen Miller, and I'm here representing the Oregon Wine Growers Association. Thank you for the opportunity to speak this afternoon. We're here to show our support for the Dash 7 amendments. We really like the idea of a task force. We expect that the recommendations from this task force will be more carefully considered and more broadly supported than what's currently proposed for the ballot this November. We really hope to maintain our involvement and to have our to be represented at the table in the ongoing discussions and as a part of this task force. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ellen. Marshall?
Good morning, good afternoon, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. My name is Marshall Koba, representing the Associated Liquor Stores of Oregon. I, too, am here this afternoon in support of the Dash 7 amendments. We support any and all conversations to discuss the modernization, the future of retailing distilled spirits in the state of Oregon. As we all know, today's system is a cash cow with high returns, with very little to no risk for the state. We've got 248 agents who have invested heavily in this system, supporting about 1,500 employees throughout the state, and it's important to us that this task force get it right. We will be working with the governor's office to have one of those four public members be appointed to be a liquor agent so that we are certain to have a voice on the task force. Appreciate your efforts this session and the conversation that continues. And we will be an active participant in this task force. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any questions for these two? Thank you both.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else? Mr. Romaine.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Paul Romaine. I'm here representing the Oregon Beer and Wine Distributors Association, and I'm in full support of the Dash 8 Amendment that gives LEDs access. The rest of it I have problems with a little bit. We don't mind talking about these things. The problem is, again, we have to have the gunfight, which is basically could occur in November, assuming the measures make the ballot. At that point, you will need to have a discussion, and maybe having some forum ahead of time will give you the basis for doing that. If the measure passes in November, then you're going to have to do some things. If a measure doesn't pass in November, you still have the opportunity to make any technical changes to the existing system. But again, I want to reiterate that the current system is very cost efficient. It produces a great atmosphere for development of local products, and it's not something that should really be tampered with very much. Thank you.
I'm absolutely convinced that half of the public agrees with you.
And I'm absolutely convinced that about three quarters does.
Let's see how that goes.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else who wishes to comment? Okay, members, we are in work session. Are we
the members on?
We've got a couple standees for a second.
Gerard had to go testify on another bill. But
yeah.
Do you need a motion on the Dash 8?
How about the 7?
Let's do the 7 first.
You're right. Do them in numeric order. We'll come back to order. All righty. Folks, we're still on. We're in work session on Senate Bill 1559. We have two amendments. We'll just start out and see how they go here. The chair moves the dash 7 amendments to Senate Bill 1502. Discussion on the motion.
Is this 1502?
1559. I'm sorry, I grabbed the wrong one. I was already moving Senator Starr's other bill.
So this is 13.
Which is also a dash 7. Dash 7 on 1559.
The 7's of the task force.
Mr. Discussion. Chair. Senator.
Yeah. Two things. I will vote to create the task force, but I raise the issue of whether or not it should should be re-referred to Ways and Means. This will be up to the President of the Senate, whether or not the fiscal, it does have a fiscal, whether or not the fiscal is sufficient that it needs to go to Ways and Means. And so I'll ask that the President of the Senate be notified that we have asked this question and are expecting him to make the right call.
I appreciate it. I don't know what that is, but I appreciate that, Senator. I have had that discussion with the President. Other discussion? Senator Starr.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to support the motion of the Chair.
Thank you, Senator. Okay, is there objection to the amendment, to the motion? There is none. It's adopted. We will try the second one. This is the technical amendment to allow OLCC to do the background checks, access to the LED system again. So the chair moves the dash 8 amendments to Senate Bill 1559. Discussion on that motion. Is there any opposition to the motion? Seeing none, the dash 8s are adopted. All right, now is the script.
Oh, we just can move it to pass as a
chair. Okay, we don't need the script on this one. It's on the other one. All right. The chair moves Senate Bill 1559 as amended by the dash 7s and dash 8s to the floor with a due pass recommendation, understanding as Senator Monroe has raised that whether it goes to Ways and Means will be up to the Senate President. Discussion on the motion. Senator Durant.
Yeah, thank you. Colleagues, we've kind of beat this issue to death. We have an election coming up. Both sides think they're going to win the election. The people are going to decide it's a winner-take-all election, and I don't see the need for this task force, so I'm going to be a no.
Senator Girard, I would comment to you that regardless of how the election turns out, there's a need for the legislature to take action in January, one way or another. All right, other discussion?
I'm probably going to be no because I don't want to be on the committee.
So you're trying to assure yourself a place on the committee?
Well, it might not work that way in the end.
All righty, we better call the roll.
Senator Edwards?
Yes.
Senator Girard?
No.
Senator Monroe?
Aye.
Senator Thompson?
No.
Vice Chair Starr?
Aye.
Aye. Senate Bill 1502 as amended.
No. 1559.
I got that wrong. 1559 has been passed through the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. The chair will carry. We'll close on that, and we will open we have to do a public hearing on Senate Bill 1502. Patrick?
Speed bump bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 1502 in its original form requires ODOT to conduct a study of speed bumps. We have a couple amendments that we have before us that are gut and stuff amendments that remove the original text of the measure. I believe the one that we're considering is the dash 7 amendment, which was just distributed. Senator Starr could probably do a good job of giving a run through on that, Mr. Chair.
So,
Senator Starr.
Thank you. So we have hot off the press a dash 7 amendment. This amendment does three things, and I'll walk the committee through it relatively quickly. I don't believe any of them are issues that are controversial. Section 1 of the bill is an amendment to Senate Bill 810 that we passed last year They created the voluntary opt-in pilot program for a road user charge. So you remember we passed that bill, Senate Bill 810, that allowed for up to 5,000 drivers to participate in the pilot. This amendment changes that 5,000 number to 10,000. That's what Section 1 is about, and Section 2, including Section 3. Section 3 talks about the opportunities for the Department of Transportation to partner with other states, and actually the federal government and provinces on this issue. And those conversations are being held. Again, this is a voluntary process. It's opt-in. Nobody's being forced to do any of this. Section 4 is a part of the bill that deals with, and Mr. Russell's in the room if you have technical questions about that. But Section 4 is a bill that deals with how the state regulates self-loading log trucks. This is an issue that's been identified by the Motor Carrier Division at ODOT. This is a fix to a law, and if you want more information than that, Mr. Russell's here to talk about that. The final piece, the third piece of this bill, is what you'll find in Section 5 of the bill. It is an amendment, a modification to the Jobs and Transportation Act. If you will recall, when we passed that, we had what was then section of that bill was Section 64, where we outlined specific dollar amounts for specific projects. As those projects have gone to bid and to construction, the dollar amounts, some have been a little under, some have been a little over. And in previous legislative action, we have reallocated those overages to other projects within the same region, and that's what Section 5 of this amendment does. Those are the three parts of the amendment. Again, they're to a large degree technical fixes to things that we've done in previous legislative sessions. I will tell you that there was another part to this bill that dealt with jurisdictional transfers. You might have heard about that. We've removed that out of this amendment. It's in the dash fives that everyone had. We removed it because there needs to be more conversation between the counties and the department. And I hope to actually have some agreement on that and amend that into the bill on the House side.
Okay.
But we took it out at this point just to make sure we can get everybody on the same page. The bill shouldn't have any... because we took that jurisdictional piece out, it removes the fiscal conversation. There was at one point a conversation about having a fiscal. Don't believe the bill in this amended form of any fiscal at all. We, unfortunately, because of the timing of the session and the lateness of this amendment coming forward, we're going to have to, if we want to move forward with this, suspend the rules to allow us to move the bill, both on the timeliness of the amendment and the fact that we don't have a fiscal on this particular dash 7 again. But based on my conversation with the department, I'm confident that with that particular section related to jurisdictional transfers being removed, it eliminates that conversation about a fiscal. And again, this is things that we've done before that have passed with strong bipartisan support in previous legislators. Be happy to try to answer questions.
Any questions, Senator Starr? Senator Monroe and Senator Girard?
Yeah, I was very interested in the discussion of Cornelius Pass Road and the jurisdictional problem there. Senator Starr, you know what a problem that road is and how perhaps getting it taken care of might require some jurisdictional transfer. Also, that's kind of Washington County's your area. In my area, there's a chunk of Powell Boulevard between I-205 and Gresham that is supposedly a state highway, 26, and yet is two-lane without sidewalks, and people keep getting killed there. It badly needs some work, and perhaps it's really a city street, and so a jurisdictional transfer involving that piece of highway, it seems to me, would make a lot of sense. So I am very interested in this jurisdictional transfer issue. Hope it'll come back in some other form. I'm disappointed that it won't be in this bill.
Well, I hope, Mr. Chair, Senator Monroe, I hope it will be in this bill eventually.
Well, we're on the other side.
Yeah, just unfortunately, this bill has been amended like four times today. and we just kind of run out of time. So well, I'll continue the conversation. I believe we'll get it in on the other side.
And Senator, if I can help you in any way with our friends in the House, let me know.
That's what happens when you start out the session at sine die.
Yeah, that would be a good session.
Senator Girard, you're up.
I have to tell you that two-thirds of the bill is great. One-third of it, it really gives me the heartburn, and that's increasing from 5,000 to 10,000, the number for metering. That is so unpopular in my district, I just don't want to go down that road. So I'll probably vote yes, only because of the part with the logging trucks. I kind of think they almost have to have that. But
so, Mr. Chair, can I just address that?
You sure can.
Fred, I appreciate that. And to a large degree, I know you're right. And I also know that there's likely there'll be no volunteers from your Senate district. I recognize that folks are concerned about this, but unless we figure out a long-term solution to how we fund our transportation system, and this is about trying things. It's not about deciding on things. This is about trying to figure out what works. And forgive me, but there's 2 million, 3 million drivers in our state, and we're talking about 10,000 of them. So it's a minuscule percentage of the overall number of drivers, and yet this will provide data that will help us have this conversation. It doesn't say that in the long run we're going here, but it does allow us to try to find a solution to the long-term funding problems that we have, not only in the state of Oregon, but across the country and for the nation.
Yep. And Senator, I suggest that the word to keep in mind here, the key word is voluntary.
And metered.
Voluntary. If you don't like it, don't do it. That's what you tell your people. They don't have to do it if they don't want to do it.
I'm going to have a hard time with this one.
Others? Other Senator?
I'm just wondering what the log truck piece is. I trust the drafter of the amendment, but I would like just to know what it is.
So would you like to talk to the drafter?
Well, I was referring to my Senate colleague, but I like him too.
Okay. Or Del Conte. Oregon Trucking Association. Senator Edwards, we have not very many, but we have some self-loading log trucks. And if you recall, they have a little crane that sits over the drive axle on the tractor so that they can actually load the logs. They're used commonly with small woodlands where they don't set up a big logging operation. They just go out and fell the trees. And the log truck comes up, and it's got the crane so it can load itself, and off it goes. Forever, ODOT has issued two size and weight permits to those vehicles, one that is specific for self-loading log trucks that gives them a little bump in weight over their drive axles to compensate for the crane. And then they've issued them an extended weight permit, depending on the length of the truck, and that allows them to go over 80,000 pounds. In a close reading of the law recently, the department decided that they could no longer issue both permits to a self-loading log truck. They could only issue the one that allowed a little bump in weight over the drive axles. So it reduced the payload, and what this does is it allows, when you issue the self-loading log truck size and weight permit, it allows them to do both. They can increase the weight over the drives as well as go over 80,000 pounds.
Got it. Was that's clear? That's all I wanted to know. Thank you.
My understanding is this comes from the department, from the motor vehicle side.
Yes.
So it's actually not Mr. Russell's amendment. It's the department's suggestion.
Well, I like him too.
You like him too?
Yeah.
Is there anybody else in the audience you'd like to like today?
This
isn't Facebook, but it's okay. Mr.
Do we
Garrett,
like amendments or not?
Just looking, if you want to come up and okie doke with this.
Sure. I have a quick question.
While he's coming up?
Sure.
Senator.
How long will the speed bump study take?
It didn't really say in here.
It will take a long time since it's been replaced.
Oh, I didn't see it. I was just curious.
Mr. Chairman, to your remarks, the department, specifically our Motor Carrier Transportation Division, has worked extremely closely with Mr. Russell and his organization to make sure we're in sync here. So the imprimatur of this agency is on that, and we support it to move forward. Makes sense.
And I assume the rest of it is you have no objections to that.
That's correct. Yeah. Correct. And we look forward to conversations specific to jurisdictional transfers that plays itself out over time.
I have a question.
Senator Rob.
We've been doing it one way with the two permits for, I don't know, 20, 40 years or something. Why all of a sudden somebody gets a being in their bonnet and they read something, they go, well, that doesn't. Why?
Someone asked an attorney a question.
I got to tell you, because this bill, the way. No matter how I vote on this, I'm going to get it from one side or the other.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Girard, I don't have a specific answer to this. I just think it is a vestige of the past, and when someone looked at it, there was some exposure. So we engaged Mr. Russell and his industry, and we found a way, which I think is a more streamlined, focused approach to allow the good folks that are doing the loggings with this type of equipment to continue to do their business in an efficient manner. It really, I mean, that's the outcome we were trying to get to. I think we were dealing with a vestige of the past for all intents and purposes.
Probably the issue is somebody ask an attorney a question.
I know, but when you end up with a logging truck bill and a metered bill in the same bill, and it's just kind of
wonderful practice.
Christmas trees going along.
I would point out to you the relating clause.
So where's the speed bumps?
Well, they're in the OLCC bill.
Thank you, Matt.
Is there anybody else who wishes to testify on this bill? See, it sort of feels like end of session. I see none.
Just wait till the motion, Mr. Chair.
I see none. Going once, twice, public hearing. We'll close the public hearing and we'll open the work session.
Mr. Chair.
Go.
I move the committee adopt the -7 amendments to Senate Bill 1502 dated 2/13/14.
Senator Starr has moved the -7 amendment to Senate Bill 1502. Discussion. Is there any objection?
I'm going to object.
Okay, call the roll.
Oh, this is just for the amendment?
Yep.
No, I don't object.
Okay, so once again, is there any objection?
No.
There is none. -7s are adopted.
-7s.
That's what I said.
I thought you said -1. I'm just overseeing you now. You know, I'm really nervous.
You know. You're really helpful today, Fred.
I know. I'm making your day, aren't I?
Mr. Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of taking action on Senate Bill 1502 without having the fiscal impact and the revenue impact statements on hand and without the amendment being publicly available online for at least 1 hour.
Senator Starr has moved that the rules be suspended. Discussion on that motion?
No,
there is no discussion. Is there any opposition to that motion? Rules are suspended. Senator.
Mr. Chair, I move the Senate bill as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved Senate Bill 1502 as amended by the -7 amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion on that motion.
I'm going to be a no.
We'll call the roll.
Yes.
Senator
Girard?
No.
Senator
Monroe?
Aye.
Vice Chair Starr?
Aye.
Chair Beyer?
Aye. Senate Bill 1502, as amended by the -7s, is moved to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Senator Starr will carry. Any further business? Well, colleagues, thank you. It's been a fast couple of weeks. We've pretty much cleared our agenda. Next week we move on to House bills, and I believe we do have a couple up on. We have five
bills. Well, we
probably
won't put them all up on Tuesday, but we have five.
You don't want to roll the dice?
Well,
look at that.
We'll work ourselves out of it.
We will have some work to do. Hopefully we're halfway through. So with that, we are adjourned.